Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 68 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. I'm just going to give you a hard and fast update on as much as I can in the shortest amount of time as I can. Today's episode brought to you by Vortex, the power of optics. Thank you, Vortex Canada, for sponsoring the podcast for the foreseeable future. Really appreciate that. So today, first thing I want to talk about real quick is we have filed our lawsuit in federal court, as you probably already know. And I want to talk a little bit, a few more details about what we're actually doing there. Not everybody understands what it is that we're doing. And some people don't for sure. But what we did was we entered a notice of application, and our pleading is somewhere around 50 pages, 50 some odd pages long. In the video that I did that said, you know, the CCFR has filed, I said 39 pages because the version I was just looking at, the pre-filing version, I think it was the second to last draft of it, but it's even longer. Now, why is that significant? Well, it's significant because of everything that's at stake and all of the ramifications, all of the consequences to the questions that we're asking a judge to rule on and how they affect everyday Canadians. So our case is so big, it's going to be very expensive, okay? But it's so big. We're actually going through the Charter of Rights and Freedoms in sections 1, 7, and 26, if I remember correctly. And that actually dives down into the Bill of Rights. It actually dives into the Constitution Act. We're going all the way. Now, why this is so big and why this is so impactful? This is the biggest case for gun owners that's ever been launched, ever. And the reason for that is we are actually going to get answers to whether or not you can even have property in Canada. Okay, so we are going all the way. And I said in the video, the reason why we need to go all the way is we keep complaining that we are fighting the same fights over and over and over again, about property and whether there's any kind of right or even a privilege to own firearms, or whether the government has the authority to pass laws based on emotion or based on politics. You know, a lot of these cases, they never even go anywhere near that. Well, we're going all the way because at least, as I said in the video, we're going to get certainty. At least you'll know what you have in Canada. Now, I want to expand on this, and this is really interesting. I was talking to someone. I can't remember if it was an interview or talking to somebody. There's been so much activity, and I'm just a normal person. So my small brain just can't, you know, I can't keep track of everything. I don't think I was meant to be busy as in 12 to 14 hours a day for weeks on end. I'm going to need to have to get some sleep one of these days. But, you know, we were talking about the ramifications of this case and the ramifications of answering questions that have actually been buried for a long time, whether that's good or bad. But here's the thing. In Canada, you really don't have codified rights. We have the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and, you know, right in the beginning of the charter, it says these are your rights unless a court says they're not, right? So it's, I don't know if I'd use the term worthless, but it has no teeth. It's not an inalienable constitution, you know, driven right, right? So in the United States, they have a constitution. These are inalienable rights, rights that can't be taken away from you by government. In Canada, we don't have that. Now, why does that matter, right? A lot of people find this whole idea trivial, right? And a lot of people actually criticize the United States because the fact that they have a constitution with those kinds of rights codified means that it's very difficult for courts to get around them, and sometimes guilty people go free. So, you know, and sometimes people have to listen to speech that they don't like or that offends them or makes them feel uncomfortable, and they don't like that. And in Canada, this has worked for us. And I'll tell you why. This is what we ended up articulating in this conversation. This worked for, I remember where it was. It was, we have a television special coming on, and it was part of the interview discussion. That's what it was. And you know what? It was a long time ago. It was last night at 8 o'clock at night. It was a long day. And I'll tell you more about that 2-hour special in this podcast. So anyway, in Canada, the thing was, for as long as Canada, you know, let's say since Confederation, to choose a date, Canada has been filled with Canadians. And Canadians typically were people that were good people, that had some level of respect for their fellow citizens. And because I remember, because I was there, right? So Canada in the 70s, 80s, 90s, maybe even in the early 2000s, which is, you know, I'm a Generation Xer, this is my time. Canadians were people that, you know, you could be an NDP voter and you could be a Liberal voter. And those two people could still be best friends. They didn't say, well, you know, you're not in my group, so obviously you're inherently evil. It wasn't like that. It was like, oh yeah, your guys did this and your guys did that. And we would laugh and we would debate with each other. And that we're still friends. Friendships were worth more than being in a political party or having certain politics or ideological views. Friendships were valued more. And I think overall as a country, we had more respect for each other. And so it wasn't even really didn't occur to people to say, you know what, I don't own any guns, so nobody should own guns. Or I don't own any guns, so I want the government to use violence against somebody that's a gun owner, you know, because I, you know, believe wholeheartedly that the government that's been demonstrated to lie repeatedly and, you know, congenitally, right? Since its inception, you know, I'm still going to believe whatever they say and I'll turn against my fellow citizen. That wasn't the way Canada was. We actually had a lot of national cohesion, and that's the reason why violence was low anyway, right? So not having codified rights, that works in a society like that. Okay, so I don't need codified rights in my house to treat my family proper, or they don't need codified rights to treat me properly. We have this social contract, if you will, right? Well, when you have, and as we've seen throughout history, the more power that governments get and the more moral decline you have in a society, you have more and more extreme behavior, have more and more extreme ideology takes root on both sides of the political spectrum. And this great big divide, like Canada, I've never seen it so divided. It's horrible. It's sickening actually to watch. But when that starts happening and you have people saying, government, I want you to use violence against this identifiable group. And you have other Canadians maybe that aren't calling for that, stand by and go, yeah, whatever. I got nothing to lose there. Nobody's after me. When those stakes start to increase, all you have left are codified rights that are inalienable, that government can't take away. That's all you have left. And you know what? Honestly, the founding fathers of the United States, man, were they smart men. They were a group of people that really knew how colonization worked. They knew how the mechanisms of control. They said, well, if you make sure that no one can ever stop you from saying anything that you want, you know, disinformation can't take hold and brainwash the public. If you make sure that you have some right to protect yourself and that you have some inalienable rights, that you can protect your life if somebody's trying to rape, murder, or assault you, then broader control can never take root. If you make sure that there's a freedom of the press, then, you know, people, average people can always get the word out. Like they knew how this stuff worked. And way back hundreds of years ago, right? 150 years ago, 200 years ago. And so don't make me do the math. It's been a long week. It's been a long month. But that's what they have that's sitting there to fall back on. Now it's being undermined in the United States, as you guys know. But still, they're still farther ahead than we are. We never had those rights to begin with, but it was never a problem because Canadians didn't hate each other enough to try to take advantage of them the way that they're doing today. So I don't know. That was a really long way of explaining that. I'm sorry for boring you, but that's why it's so important that at the end of our court case, even people that don't own guns will know 100% whether they are entitled to even own something. You work, the gangsters take the money off your paycheck before you even see it. They've already taken their cut at whatever rate they believe is appropriate for them. Then they give you what you have left, and then you take that money and you go purchase something. And then you pay tax on top of that. Okay, you know, like they get you coming and they get you going. But is that even really yours? Can some person in another city on the other side of the country say, you know what, I don't like it when people own those things. I want the government to use force and take those away from people I've never met for no real good reason. And I shouldn't be obligated to even show them a reason. I'll tell you why. Because the majority says it's the way it is. I mean, where have we seen in history that go the wrong way? So anyway, this case has implications for every single Canadian. For every Canadian wondering whether they have any rights whatsoever, or at least understanding what it is to live in Canada. You know, by the time this is over, maybe some people don't even think that they, maybe some people decide they don't want to live in Canada anymore, that it's not the place they thought it was, or it's not filled with the people they thought it was, right? So anyway, there's a lot at stake. This is an enormous case. It's going to be very expensive because our pleading is so wide, right? It's going to take so much labor, so much effort. to defend everything that we've asked for decisions on. So anyway, it's a big case, and it is the last Hail Mary for gun owners, because if pursuing this through judicial means doesn't work, and it's entirely political, it's just based on whatever the political party that has a majority at the time or a coalition, you know, at least we'll know, number one. And number two, it's going to be difficult, especially when you have political parties like the Liberals sowing such extreme division, to where they use the term all the time, there's no place in Canada for, and then fill in the blank. Fill in the blank with whatever people you don't like, whatever political ideology you like, whatever property you don't like, right? It's bad stuff. So anyway, that's what's at stake in our case. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of give you a little bit of extra information on that. Now, I have to tell you, I have to thank you. I wanted to make a video, a YouTube video, but I just couldn't find the time because we've been working 12 to 14 hour days every single day. I can't keep that much up much longer. But anyway, I wanted to make a video because, like I said, that video that I made just now got 51,000 views, and there's over 1,000 comments now, or just under 1,000 comments. Pardon me. My wife was reading me some of them, and I was like, oh, you know, I should answer that. But I just physically can't. I just can't do it. So a couple of, you know, blanket statements. Number one, thank you so much, everyone, for your support. And thank you for your kind words, and thank you for your confidence, and thank you for your trust. All of that stuff is so meaningful, and it lets me know that the CCFR is on the right track, that we're doing the right things. And it also, you know, we take a lot of abuse. We're called murderers and terrorists and misogynists and xenophobes and every name under the sun, because people just don't agree with our position on guns, you know, and Holocaust denier, that's another good one. Yep. You know, no, sorry, trivializing the Holocaust. I don't want to be hyperbolic, right? But yeah, just crazy stuff. But the outpouring of support is by a factor of probably 1,000 to all of the horrible stuff that we have to put up with. So thank you very much for all of your support. It's very meaningful. Now, one of the things that I tend to not do enough is tell people how they can help. So I want to make sure I go out of my way. I wrote a list. So how can you help the CCFR? First of all, how can you help yourself? I guess by extension is you can contribute to our legal battle. Okay. If you watch that video that I'm referring to, I put a link in the description box below. Watch it, and it explains how we have allocated a trust fund and how we're administrating that. Okay. So I don't want to explain all that over again now. If you're interested, you can watch that video. But if you want to contribute to the legal fund, you can do it by clicking a link either in the description box below to contribute directly to that legal fund, or you can go to firearmrights.ca or ccfr.ca, I think gets you there too, or search for the CCFR. There's no other CCFR that'll be at the top of the search results other than ours. And you'll see a button on the site when you go there. It says contribute to the legal fund or what have you. You'll see it. There's a, you know, law scales there as an icon. Okay. So that's how you can do that. People were asking, they said, well, we don't want to contribute, via credit card or through PayPal. So, I would prefer that you didn't do that. In fact, you can email us money. You can EMT money at finance@firearmrights.ca. Okay. And I'm going to put that email address in the description box below. And the reason why EMT is perfect is because we don't pay fees. We pay, you know, not a ton of money, but we pay substantial fees to PayPal for processing our payments. And it's a fantastic service and we appreciate it. But we do pay fees for that. So if you send us money via email, no fees come off the top. All of it goes to the legal defense fund. And you can always send us a check. Mailing address for the CCFR is in the description box below. Send us a check. That works fine too. And again, we don't have to pay any fees for that. Okay. So you can do that. The other thing I'll mention before I forget is the other thing you can do to help yourself is, yeah, become a member of the CCFR or, you know, be part of the legal fund, but also sign all of the firearm related e-petitions. Okay. So just search e-petition Canada on a search engine. Go to the e-petition site, go to open for signature, and you'll see a list of all the ones that are open. When you see a firearm one, make sure it's not an anti-gun one. I don't know if there are any right now, but make sure it's not anti-gun, but sign all of them. And remember, when you sign them, that means you fill out your information, you hit submit, and then you have to wait. Sometimes it takes a full day, but do not forget that you have to click the confirmation email so that The system knows that you're a real person and you're not just a bot filling out those fields. Okay. If you don't do the confirmation email, your signature won't be there. It won't count. So you gotta do that. So right now we have 117 or 217,000 signatures on Michelle Rempel's pro-gun e-petition. Again, breaking the record by a huge margin again of all e-petitions in the short Canadian history of e-petitions. Okay, so and also the other thing you can do to help is link to the video that is in the description box, right? The one that explains our court case. Share that everywhere. Send it to people and get your gun club involved. That's really important. You know, there's some gun clubs have been sending us some money and they have really stepped up and I can't tell you how much I appreciate them. We have a running list of the gun clubs who have sent money to contribute. And the majority of them, I've thanked them directly, personally. And we're also going to have kind of a wall of fame, I think, here pretty shortly, just to recognize the special contributions that some gun clubs have done. But you know what? It's a handful of them compared to the something like 1,400 that exist across Canada. Typically, gun clubs are not helping. So if that's your gun club, go talk to the executive and let them know they won't have a gun club if all guns are banned. So if they can possibly help, even if all they're doing is sharing our links or forwarding our newsletter to their members, they don't even necessarily have to give us money. That's not required. Just help spread the word. That's really, really important. Anyway, all right. One of the reasons why we've been so busy is we've had a very short amount of time to gather all of do all the legal work and gather all the information to do the pleadings, the notice of application. Our next challenge is going to be to compile all of the evidence of our claims, which is going to happen over the next month or so. So again, if you don't hear from me or what have you, it's because I'm responsible to support one of the biggest cases in Canadian history as it applies to firearms. And it's no easy task. There's a reason why it's the biggest case, because nobody in their right mind would take it on. So anyway, that's what's going on behind the scenes. So, but hopefully this will all be done in the next month or two, and then we can kind of slow down a little bit. It's been a little bit crazy, but that's one of the reasons why, if you send me a message, I probably won't respond to you, even if it's important. I just, like, I'm getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And any normal person just can't do it. And I don't have an administrative assistant, you know, here at the CCFR, at least not yet. We're not big enough for that. So, anyway, if I don't respond to you, that's the reason, not that I'm picking you out of the crowd and not wanting to respond. Next thing, as you guys know, the RCMP are back up to their old tricks again. They are doing mass reclassifications of firearms, flipping them from non-restricted, restricted, over to prohibited, and telling absolutely nobody. I don't know why they're doing this. They did it back in 2014 with the CZ-858 and Swiss Arms rifles. It was terrible now, and it's terrible. It was terrible then, and it's terrible now. They're doing that again, including things like the Mossberg Plinkster 715T, right? The plastic tactical version of the Mossberg Plinkster 22, now prohib. It's a weapon of war designed only for soldiers to kill other soldiers, apparently, according to Bill Blair. So, you know, this is the insanity. You know, it's funny. There's a fairly well notable anti-gunner out there and likes to make a lot of noise. Really, really just craves attention. Very abusive individual. And, you know, they were all for, he was all for gun bans, just cheerleading it the whole way, until the gun ban started to get close to something he owns. I think that something he owned got banned is what it was. And then his comment was, oh, this is now getting a little ridiculous. It's funny because these clowns, and I do mean clowns, I'm talking circus clown here. They think that, you know, you vote and support gun bans and you expect it to stop exactly on the line that you want it to stop as an individual. Any further, it's ridiculous. Not far enough. They haven't gone far enough. They've betrayed, you know, public safety. And, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, it's interesting how many narcissists kind of come out of the woodwork in Canada when you start running divisive campaigns like gun control and identity politics and any number of other things that is truly a divisive, you know, rhetoric filled political issue. And these guys pop up and then they're surprised that they can't They can't put trust in government to behave properly. It's just, I just find it just, it's just remarkable. Anyways, so these reclassifications, look out for that. You'll probably find information to that in the closed CCFR internal group. We've got 44,000 people in there, I think, almost. And it's a really active group. So if you are not part of that group, then find it, CCFR/CCDAF. And you can request to become a member of that group. All kinds of things going on in there. It's an incredibly active group. Even if you post something within 5 minutes, it's probably 100 posts down. So if you're looking for information, that is the place to get it. But yeah, the downside is it is incredibly busy in there. Also, next thing I wanted to tell you, in association with Wild TV, the CCFR is producing and airing a 2-hour special presentation on Wild TV on national cable about the Canadian gun ban. I don't have a title for you right now. I think the working title is Canadian gun ban. So not very imaginative yet. Maybe it'll keep that title because this is going on in very short order. So this is a series of remote interviews and commentary created in 2 1-hour specials to premiere on Wild TV. The first episode of 2 will be in the week of June 8th. So it's only a week and a half away. So that's coming up really quick. And the second episode will air in the week of June 26th. So the CCFR partnered up with Wild TV to do this. And part of that arrangement is that the CCFR has unlimited perpetual right to distribute both episodes on online platforms. What does that mean to you? It means I will be uploading those two episodes on the CCFR's YouTube channel, and it's your job to share them everywhere. It's going to be our side of the story, which is incredibly rare to get. So I'm hoping it's being put together very quickly. So, and all the interviews are remote, right? Because of the COVID thing. But I think it's going to be a great show. I think it's going to bring together opinions from a lot of different people. I appear in it in the first episode. I did those interviews last night. I got to give you an apology in advance. I could barely string a few words together last night at 8 o'clock after we did the Leslin Lewis Town Hall, after I went all day doing everything else I had to do. It's pretty bad. But anyway, I'm my own big critic, my own worst critic, I guess. But anyway, we will be able to share that stuff. So as it appears for the first time, as it premieres on Wild TV, as soon as that first premiere is done, we can upload it to our YouTube channel and any other platform and share it around. So look forward to that, even if you don't have cable. So June 8th, you'll see that come out. June 26th is the second episode. So very excited about that. And thank you for, thanks to Wild TV for working with us on that. I really appreciate it. I don't have an update today for you, but stay tuned for an update on the National Education Campaign. We talked about that a couple of months ago. We are still doing it. The first part of that was the online quiz. There was a couple of bugs in the quiz. Those got ironed out, is what I understand. If you haven't heard of the quiz, if you go to gundebate.ca, there's an online quiz about, just to test people's knowledge about guns. And if you complete the quiz, you are entered to win a $50 Amazon gift certificate, and we're giving away 50 of them. There's two quizzes. There's an advanced quiz and a basic quiz. If you pass each one of them, that gets you two entries. So definitely go there, send your family, friends, anti-gunners, anybody. Just say, hey, if you got an opinion about gun control, you should find out if you know anything about gun control. Why don't you go take that quiz and you could win an Amazon gift certificate. So send them on over there. I think the contest closes in the beginning of July, if I remember correctly. I can't remember much right now, but that's what I think it is. So that was a big part of it. If you haven't done the quiz yourself, you should go do it because there's some stuff to learn. What I'd like to do is when I get a little bit more time, which won't be for a couple of months at least, I'd like to add another quiz. And it's basically the myth-busting political quiz with a bunch of extra links and videos. And that's what you can look forward to there today. But I'd like to add more quizzes in the future and just help teach people a little bit of something about this topic. People are so misinformed about this topic. It's ridiculous. All right. So anyway, the other part of the National Education Campaign, all of it went on hold because of COVID. And as I say in the video, if you probably already watched it, that CCFR has filed a video I've got some big announcements coming up in a couple of weeks about that campaign. We're moving forward with a big chunk of it. Nothing is person to person, but I think everybody's going to be impressed with what we're doing. Again, entirely unprecedented in its scale in Canadian history as far as action on behalf of gun owners. So again, if you're not impressed, I don't know what will impress you so far, but that should do it. There will be a podcast next week. I will tell you that as well. I'm going to have MLA from New Brunswick, Mike Holland, on as a guest. I've been pushing Mike off for a couple of weeks. As you know, there wasn't a podcast last week. I just couldn't do it. There's not enough hours in a day to do it, to have done it back then. And so I'm making a commitment to bring in Mike on. He's a great guy, and I'm really excited to have him on the podcast, and he's agreed to do it. So you will see that next week. All right. I'm winding this up now. I want to get this done. So again, if you want to help us help you, go to ccfr.ca or firearmrights.ca. You can contribute to the legal fund. You can send a check, or you can EMT us a donation at finance@firearmrights.ca. Again, all this information is in the description box below. Keep an eye on firearmrights.ca. There's been a new story every couple of days, if not every day for a while, on firearmrights.ca, and make sure that you share these stories. This is really important. It's great that we have this information. It's awesome. It's great that you might read it, but your obligation as somebody out, as an interested party, is share that information. Okay. So post it on your wall and whatever social media platform you have, send it to anybody you can, ask them to share it. This is how we get our word out. The mainstream media will never give us a fair shake. This is the only, fair shake that we have, is doing it ourselves. Okay, so make sure you do that. And don't forget to sign the petitions. Every single pro-gun petition that you can find on the open petitions part of the e-petition website, go there, sign them all, and don't forget to answer the confirmation email that comes. Sometimes it takes up to a day for those confirmation emails to show up. I'm not saying it's intentional, but it sure does a good job of keeping the number of signatures down. Or maybe it is a good thing, because you have to be determined to sign that petition, not just, you know, fill out a couple of fields and that's it. So I don't know. Either way, make sure that you confirm that email, or your signature won't count. And make sure, if you're telling other people to sign it, you know, hit them over the head with the fact that they have to get that confirmation email and confirm it, or their signature won't count. All right. Never give in to these people. Stay safe. Take care. We'll see you next week. And thanks for all your support.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.